We're going to go to Fort Wayne, Indiana here in a second or two, and I'm going to try to connect one device with another device, and I believe that we will get a chance to talk to someone who I've been wanting to meet here. Let me roller skate across the studio here. You know, I'm surrounded by a whole bunch of equipment here. People that are in the business would know what some of these things are, the business being music. And I'm typing here. Forgive me, we're in a lockdown. Did you know that? I'm surrounded by equipment and stuff, things that band people know about. But you may not know that the person who is behind so much of this is an actual human being, and we're going to figure out what happened there. In fact, we don't often do this. Here's a note from the Indiana, the Indiana Chamber of Commerce. Here he is.
This is where it all started.
Chuck Surak's musical journey has been well documented. It is a long and winding road from saxophone player and recording other artists from the back of his Volkswagen bus to running a Sweetwater Sound organization set to do more than $800 million in business this year. Along the way, though, some things have never changed. He believes failure is not an option, and doing the right thing for people, both employees and customers, will pay off in the long run. That strategy is certainly striking the right chord at Sweetwater, among the leading music technology and instrument retailers in the world.
Well, clearly in my early days, I could have never imagined or envisioned the kind of success or growth that we would have, but it's just been a real joy for 40 years to do something that I love every day and helping people fulfill their dreams and their aspirations. We happen to be selling music equipment, but I think of us more of fulfilling people's dreams and what they want to do.
Sweetwater sells thousands of guitars, microphones, and more each week. It solidified its online presence 25 years ago, and it welcomes customers to its store, studio, and other features in its Fort Wayne home. What Surak insists on, and what sets the company apart, is its no-cost technical support and customer service.
So I have 500 sales engineers that know how the products really work. And when we're talking to a customer, we can talk about how to use their Apple computer or the Hewlett-Packard computer with Marking the Unicorn software, with a PreSonus interface, and plug their Gibson Les Paul into it. That's something that Amazon just can't really do today. Now, we have to be competitive and be able to ship quickly and that sort of thing, but that extra expertise that we offer really is not available anywhere else except from us.
Surak and Sweetwater are synonymous with community support and giving back. He opens the company doors to many nonprofits and other groups. Personally, Surak not only serves on a number of community boards, but promises the same all-in approach that he brings to other aspects of his life. He and his wife Lisa support hundreds of philanthropic causes.
My wife and I have been so incredibly blessed. And I think it is a responsibility for those of us who have been so blessed to give back and to help others. There's a lot of need in our community, a lot of need across the state and across the country. And it's not just giving things, but it's showing them hope, showing them vision, showing there's a way. And my wife and I just love being able to do that.
Always the entrepreneur, Surak now carries a business card with the logos of more than a dozen additional companies that he owns. The mix spans from cars and aviation to performance venues and an optical business. Surak still plays in two bands.
I'm so thankful there is music. If you just close your eyes and think for a second what it would be like to hear a movie without music or without sound, think about our daily lives, how different they would be without music. And music has the ability to make people sick feel better. It has the ability to make people that are a little uncomfortable feel better. I love playing saxophone. Of course, it's a great release from my big day job, but it's just also a lot of fun to close my eyes and play what I feel from my heart and from my soul.
Surak is also a mentor to entrepreneurs, offering the guidance that focusing on the long haul is a strategy to strongly consider. It is one that has paid off for Surak in his 40-year career with Sweetwater and beyond. Please congratulate Chuck Surak, the Indiana Chamber's 2019 Ogletree Deacons Business Leader of the Year.
I think we have an opportunity right now. I believe with Mr. Sirak is on the phone here. And Chuck, they told me to congratulate you. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you, Gary. I really appreciate that.
This is quite a distinction. I should let people know. Sorry about that. I should let people know that I'm also from Indiana. I'm from the western part in Porter County. But you were born in Ohio, but you've been in Fort Wayne for a long time, right?
That's true. My parents brought me here as I was going into seventh grade, and I've always considered Fort Wayne home.
You know, it's a neat place. We were out there recently. I was talking about the minor league baseball, which I follow. Are you a baseball fan? The Fort Wayne Tin Caps, of course, hold forth out there.
I go to a lot of Tin Caps games. We have a beautiful stadium we built about 11 years ago in our community, and it's just a great experience.
It is a wonderful. It's a wonderful stadium, and we're crossing our fingers. They're gonna scramble a little bit with minor league baseball, but I think we're gonna come out of this. So anyway, when you go to Fort Wayne, Indiana, there are two things that you want to do. You go to the Tin Caps, and then you go over to Sweetwater, which is a wonderful facility that you envisioned a long time ago. Chuck, what was the moment when that image was in your head, that you saw this enormous facility and musicians and people, and you did Gear Fest. You got like 15,000 people there, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure when the exact moment was. It sort of built one step at a time, one year over the next year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I started very humbly 41 years ago in my VW bus, and there's just no way I could have ever envisioned something like we have going on here in Fort Wayne today. It's pretty amazing. I pinch myself every day.
You have bruises all over your legs.
I do.
I want to talk about the VW bus. Chuck and I have a lot in common, and with any luck, you'll never know what it is. But I also was a VW person at some early time, and so Chuck had the VW bus. I think is that a VW microbus? I want to get specific here.
That is correct.
All right. Okay.
A lot of people want to call it a VW van, and they never made a van, but
no,
the microbus.
No. Thank goodness somebody knows what's going on with VW history here.
There you go.
Yeah, it's a microbus, and you strung these microphone cables out of the bus into various venues when bands were doing their thing. On an old I don't want to get inside baseball, but was that a TAC, that big thing that you had? What was that?
It was a TAC 4-track 3340. And you're exactly right. I'd run microphone cables into the nightclub or the church or the school and mic up the band, the choir, the speaker, whoever the performer was.
Yeah.
And I'd sit in the bus with my headphones and that 4-track recorder and record the music or the sounds, whatever it was.
You know, a lot of people did that, Chuck, but they're still doing that. Their life moved on, but you went from there and just kept going. Listen, somebody told me that entrepreneur is a French word which means my check is no good.
I've never heard that. That's good. I like that.
What about it? You're an entrepreneur. I called you up really, really quickly and said maybe you could come on. We all have to be entrepreneurs, I think, right now. Comment on that.
No, I totally agree. You know, that wasn't a word 41 years ago, and I've probably learned to grow into it. But I think we all need to be innovative and find ways to encourage and give back and help others. And I'm just thankful that I have been able to be an entrepreneur long before the word was even a word.
Yeah, it's interesting. We do some business with people all over the country, and I would tell Chuck this on or off. But one thing that I know about Sweetwater, and we again, some of the stuff we've got here is I've got one. Wait, hang on. People have heard this. Chuck, can you identify this? This is from your operation. There we are. Those are the Sweetwater bongos. The people that work for you like their jobs. They really, I can tell that. They really do. They're good at what they do. They're happy when I call them up. That's a, what do we call it? A culture? You've got a culture.
Part of our culture, yes.
Yeah, you got a culture, and what about that? I mean, to like your job, that's not that common.
We're in the music and people business, you know, and how could you not like being in a business like that? And I'm thankful that I have people that love what they do, and they stay with me a really long time. But I mean, we're talking to customers all day long, helping them fulfill their dreams and their aspirations. And that only can help make you feel good. And so it's a great position to be in.
You know, you do something out there. I was going to invite our producer, Sparks, to come out. She's trying to figure out how to do everything and, you know, enhance her skills as a recording engineer. One of the things that you guys used to do, I hope you still do, you set up bands out there and you invite people that are sort of neophyte recording engineers to come out and, you know, plug in and put their boards up and you know, record a session. That's cool. You still do that?
We do, yeah. We have a lot of different master classes that do different things like that, yes.
You started as a recording engineer, so that must be something that you are, you know, you're right. Do you go down there and say, wait, you're over-modulating, no.
No, I don't do much of that anymore. There's people that probably do it better than me. I go down and say thank you and welcome and glad to have you at Sweetwater and in Fort Wayne.
Yeah. You know, the first thing we do here in the studio is we say, don't pour a Diet Pepsi into the board if you can avoid that. We want to put that aside there. I got to say, it's been fun just to hang out with you folks in the last few years. 21 after the hour here. This is Chuck Surak. Chuck is the proprietor of Sweetwater, a company that does great stuff, very interesting. And Chuck also founded, and I think you're also a pilot, Chuck, and you, is Indiana Helicopters, that's your outfit too, right?
It is, yeah. We renamed the company last year to Sweet Helicopters to go along with the Sweetwater. But, yeah, I'm a helicopter pilot and flown all over the country.
Those are hard to fly. I know very little about, just fixed-wing aircraft, but helicopters, that's difficult stuff. How often are you in the sky now in general?
Oh, I try and get up a couple times a week.
Do you really?
And you are right. It's a little difficult initially, but like anything else, you just have to put enough time and energy into it, like learning to play an instrument. It's pretty hard initially, but once you've done it, it becomes second nature to you, and that's the way I feel when I'm flying a helicopter today.
You're a saxophone player, I know.
I am.
How long have you been playing the music?
I started when I was going into fifth grade.
Wow.
And so I'm 63 now. I haven't done the math, but it's a lot.
Yeah.
And I still play a couple times a month. It's slowed down, obviously, in the last few months because of the pandemic, but I'm looking forward. I've got my first gig back here later in June, so I'm looking forward to that.
Is that right? Wow.
Yep.
I like a man with your situation who says, I got a gig coming up.
Yep.
Know? That sounds good to me. Chuck Surak is a man who I wanted to ask a couple of weird questions to, if I could, Chuck. What do you eat for breakfast?
Wow, what do I eat for breakfast? No one has ever asked me that question before. You know, I come into work pretty early usually, and we have a great dining area here and our own custom chef and staff and all that sort of stuff. And I usually eat a breakfast sandwich and a breakfast roll. Like this morning it was banana bread.
Yeah. And how much sleep do you get?
Ah, now that's a good one. I have been asked that. I'm notorious. I have a record of not sleeping a lot, and a lot of people know that. I sleep about 3.5 hours a night.
Wow, really?
So, from about 1:30 or 2 to about 5 in the morning. I've been that way my whole life.
Is that right? You know, this is not a hallucination. You're actually on the radio right now, Chuck. I don't want you to, you know, go down.
Thank you.
That's weird. Listen, I'm going to burst into tears. I fancy myself not an entrepreneur, but let's say I'm a wannabe. And I read about people that, you know, do what you do. President Obama, I might add, I think slept 4 hours a night, something like that. I mean, this guy just did nothing but work. And here you are with your 3.5 hours. How is this humanly possible? Is that the difference between me and you, Chuck? That and the saxophone playing?
Maybe the saxophone. I don't know about the sleep thing, but I will tell you, while the rest of the world's sleeping, I've got another good part of my life that I can do many, many different things that I'm interested in, and I appreciate having those extra hours.
Well, you're somebody that likes to say, I work hard and I play hard. It's really hard to find a better combination than that.
Yeah, I say that all the time. I'm anything I do, I'm in 110%. So I'm working hard, and then likewise, I turn it off and I play really hard.
Yeah. What's the hardest thing you had to do? What's the tough decision you had to make? The big challenge. I mean, we know the successes, but you stared into the chasm, and what was that?
I'd say there were two of them. One was in the early days when most people didn't understand what I was trying to do, and when I say recording studio, you know, my professional friends, the banker, the attorney, the lawyer, you know, those folks would all say, Fort Wayne, Indiana, you need to do it in Nashville. You need to do it in L.A. You need to do it in New York. They just didn't understand my vision. And I probably got frustrated with them, you know, but that was arrogant of me because they weren't walking in my shoes. They didn't have my dreams. I will tell you, the other scary one, frankly, just the last few months with the whole COVID thing, didn't know where that was going. You know, I've never laid a person off in my life. In 41 years, I didn't want to start now. Fortunately, I did not have to. But when this thing started, we didn't know how bad it was going to get, didn't know where it was going to end. And so we had a few sleepless nights until we figured out that there was going to be some degree of new normalcy.
You have, you have like 300 employees there, yes?
No, we actually have 1,800
employees.
No,
did you?
1,800. And, you know, it's not just the employees. It's thinking about the responsibility of all the families. You know, that's heavy. That's a real heavy thing to carry every day.
Well, listen, 1,800, I'm going to make that note. That I think that's a typo somewhere in my notes here. The concept of taking responsibility for other people, you know, and being their employer and, you know, I know a little bit about that, Chuck. 1,800 people. Wow. That was a sleepless night or two, yes?
Yes.
Yeah. How are we doing now, you think? All of us. You feeling good? Feeling optimistic?
I'm personally very optimistic, but I've always been an optimistic person. But we're a strong, strong country, and, you know, we're going to get through this. It may be slightly different than before, but I just think people as a whole, you know, we'll get through it.
Yeah. I agree, because if we don't, then, you know, then there's no purpose. We got to get up every morning and do it. I have a feeling, I don't need to tell you that. I have a feeling you know what it is to put a foot in front of the other every
Absolutely.
Morning. As you're, you know, as you're having your breakfast sandwich and rubbing your eyes after the 3.5 hour sleep. So, Chuck, people must, and 27 after the hour, Chuck agreed to be on for a couple minutes. I'm going to ask him to chat for just a second, and we'll let him go back to do his thing here. Chuck, people must come up to you all the time and ask for advice. What's the most common, aside from can I borrow some money, Chuck? What's the second common question that you get from people want to know how you did it?
You know, they generally want just general advice, like you've asked or what you said. And what I always try to do is just encourage people because, like I said, in my early days, maybe everybody didn't see my dream. And for anyone else that's trying to be an entrepreneur today, folks around you may not know your dreams and your aspirations. And so if you really believe in something, by all means, get other folks' advice. But also, go forward. Believe in yourself 110%. And I believe in things like failure is not an option and there's always a way. And you just have to apply that to yourself. And don't let other people drag you down.
You know, you use the term arrogant. You're saying that the beginning of that you seemed a little bit arrogant. What about that? My opinion, I think you've got to be a little bit arrogant to be an entrepreneur, don't you think?
Well, I think you have to have confidence.
Yeah.
But I don't think you need to have arrogance to the point of being rude to somebody.
Right. I don't mean that. But I'm just saying that people, there are people that are simply, I don't know, jealous. They don't. Somebody said it's not enough for me to succeed. Others need to fail. And I think there's a little bit of, you know, a little bit of that. But, but your story, it's a positive one. And I can't see you as a very arrogant person, but there is that element of seeing something before everyone else does.
Right, right.
And you continue to do that. What are you going to do? What are you going to do for the weekend for fun?
For the weekend for fun. Well, I happen to own a lake cottage about 40 miles away from here,
yeah.
And it allows me to get away and relax. And especially since I'm not playing music this weekend, so I have a 13-year-old daughter and my wife and. Couple of older boys and we'll be on the lake.
Wow, relaxing. You got room for me?
Come on down. I love sharing our place with people.
What a treat to talk to you and thanks a lot. Hey, this is a busy guy. He's never too busy to talk about good stuff for people. I also might add, maybe we could use the word philanthropy. That's something that I want to just let people know. Chuck, quick about that. My theory is, do you remember, you and I are almost the same age. Remember they used to have a little thing, a little tray in a counter of a, you go to a restaurant and you're checking out. A little thing that said, leave a penny, take a penny. Remember that?
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's where we are now. And it seems to me that it's not just, you know, giving away money if you've got it. There's something a little more than that. You've been a philanthropist of legendary proportion. Let me let you leave with that. Talk about that.
Well, my wife and I have been incredibly blessed. I started with nothing, literally nothing. And today I just feel so thankful that I'm in a position to help others. And I think all of us, you know, that have a roof over our head and three square meals a day, maybe a car or two, I think we have a responsibility to give back and help others. You know, we're one accident, one incident away from being homeless or having a major medical situation. And I'm just thankful that I'm in a position to give back and help others. And you can't take it with you. So, you know, it's been given me, to guard and to help. And, you know, it's here short term. And I just want to help others.
Chuck Chirac, a man that many of us would emulate if we could. If we could only get by on 3.5 hours sleep. I'm kidding, Chuck. Thanks so much for doing this. And let's make a point. I'm going to get out there and we'll shake hands. I've been out to your facility. I'll get out there. Can you at least buy me a breakfast sandwich if I get out there early enough?
I would love to buy you a breakfast sandwich. You just got to get up early.
We'll leave you with a Sweetwater product. Here it is. Man, these are good bongos. Chuck, have a great day today.
Thank you, Gary. Have a great day yourself.